is gonna make a sentimental journey to renew. Spent each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation. I long to hear that all aboard. 7. Time we leave at 7. I'll be waiting up for heaven, counting every mile of a railroad track that moves me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take a sentimental journey. Sentimental.
Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board, rest in peace. Never have another man like you, baby. Welcome to Loveline, also now currently known as Sex Talk in its new incarnation. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's we're glad to have you. And with me in the studio tonight, we have Philip. And Philip is going to be talking about cyber sex. Our long-absent co-host, DJ Pablo, is back with us. And we hope we'll have a long and very satisfying summer together with Pablo.
I can only look forward to it.
And producing us tonight is of course DJ producer Kate. And let's just get started. Philip.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You and I were talking backstage about, you know, everybody knows what a fabulous phenomenon the web and the internet. And the internet is, but you were involved in the internet and the web before it was even hip, right? Before
people even knew what WWW meant.
And so you're in some sense a cyberspace pioneer.
Shame to say it, but yeah.
And in particular, you're a cyber sex pioneer, and I want to talk to you about your experiences about cyber sex in the early days. So. Let's turn the clock back 4 years or so. You are, what, a college student?
Was a college student, freshman, experiencing a bit more of the net than I had before. And being a typical college student at a mostly male school, I didn't meet many women. Had dated a little bit first, but did not. But my first relationship kind of fizzled, and I was looking for a substitute.
Uh-huh.
So I found the net, and I found the web. And on these random web chatters, probably one of the first of their kind, I found a release.
a release. Now, was this the... So when you were in college, were you involved in any actual relationships with physical people, or were they all cybersex relationships?
I wasn't in relationships with actual real people. I was in a dating relationship for about 2 months, but that kind of fizzled out. I was involved in two or three student organizations, but because of the quality of the university, there really weren't many available women at the time, and I believe that still really hasn't changed much.
Interesting. So I think you're telling me that in particular, the woman that you were dating at the time, who in some sense drove you to cybersex, if that's a fair characterization, was particularly vividly evil.
I can just very politely refer to her as Hellspawn.
I don't understand that word.
Imagine... The most vicious and vile creations from the dark underworld, and she was the product thereof.
And so, you know, Lord Satan, Prince of Lies, produces...
So you were bonded to this woman by force?
I was more or less bonded to her by my lust and my stupidity. But... After time, I realized...
Well, lust is a good reason.
It was a good reason. Unfortunately, we had both lost our virginity with each other, and as I was willing to try more and more things and becoming more of an active partner, I believe the best way to describe the way that she was is... A necrophiliac would find her very attractive, would find her... A very comparable mate.
So the idea here being, she was clammy?
She was dull, she didn't really move, it was hard to tell that she was actually there.
Maybe she didn't enjoy it and she was honest.
I don't think she actually enjoyed it. From what I could tell, she was actually afraid of orgasm.
Everybody's afraid to lose control.
Exactly. I mean, Juan, the first time Pablo, DJ Juan Pablo, the first time you and
like
I,
the Pope, in fact,
had a sexual relationship, I believe, you know, I did all the work and you just laid back and tried to enjoy it, but you had some difficulty with your erection too, if I recall correctly, when I was performing fellatio on you.
Yeah, of course. I never got an erection with you. So, okay, so you were driven into cybersex, into the computer anyway, at first.
Well, so, because your partner was so completely passionless, if you will.
Yes, because I could not gain any actual satisfaction from her. Because of that, I took to the computer. And
surely, I mean, she must have been, I mean, so like, compared to, say, a piece of warm fruit with a hole cut in it, how would you compare?
She actually was an attractive woman. So
she was good looking.
She was good looking, I must say, but that was about one of her only saving graces.
And you said there was some degree of role playing. Apparently, you did have some kind of active fantasy life with her, or at least
one of the things that she desired was some type of role playing, and she wanted a BDSM type domination role playing. Where I was a very violent, vicious man who was basically taking advantage of her. And that was about her only desire. And I have one problem. I'm a really nice guy, and I just can't even role play that.
Yeah, but see, compared to those emotions that she wanted to elicit in you, or in her, rather, just regular sex, especially the two of you being virgins and not knowing really what the right techniques, I suppose, would be totally boring, I suppose.
As far as I can tell, she really didn't attempt to explore any technique. Her idea of technique was just lying there doing nothing, and
that was part of a submissive act, I suppose.
Yes. She knew very little else, so.
She probably blames you too, you know, for not being the aggressive blah 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 that she wanted.
Which she did a lot. Hence one of the reasons why she's my ex-girlfriend, and why I broke off relations
with her. One of the reasons why I married her, I thought that you were going to say. Okay.
Anybody that actually has any insights into a relationship like this is encouraged to call us at the studios here. I believe the phones are working. The numbers, as always, they may be working.
Yeah, I think they are.
621 WRCT and 268 WRCT, and that's 1-412-621-9728 for you overseas listeners.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I was going to hypothesize that this woman might have turned out she was actually struggling with her own sexual identity, as we all have at times in our lives.
Especially at the beginning, when you just had your first...
Is it possible she's a lesbian now and completely happy?
There is a possibility that she is a lesbian now, but whether she's completely happy or not, I am fairly certain she isn't. It's just one of those things that you can be constant on. She was and always will be unhappy with her lot in life. Sigmund Freud would have a field day on her after knowing some of her background.
It might not be a challenge for Mr. Sigmund. Mm-hmm. So you're unhappy with this woman. This is very interesting, and I'd like to come back to it later, okay. But just in case we don't have time for all the other stuff, which is certainly more trendy. So you're unhappy with your sex life with a particular person, and then you go out to sit in front of a computer. How does that work?
Well, it started out initially with me sitting in front of the computer and just needing somebody to talk to, someone to rant to about my problems that I was having with my girlfriend, and not wanting to have that information circling around my particular circle of friends. I had to turn to an outside entity, namely a random web chat group, to voice my opinion, find a sympathetic ear, and in that I also found a bit more of sympathy and a release for the other tensions that I had, more than just the gotta tell somebody tensions.
I'd actually like to focus on these latter tensions for a bit. So, I'm not sure if I've used a chat room or not. When I was younger, I used to hang out on the CompuServe CB simulator. Is this kind of the same?
It's kind
analogy?
Of what, it's a good analogy. It's,
you're old.
It's
old but
glorious. Powerfully arousing.
That's what eventually the web chats and the random chat programs evolved from. Those nice little fun CB simulators where you have a random room of people talking about something and you have the ability to go into a private session. So with that, basically you have somebody in a room labeled good times or general chat.
Good times. This is not the hit 1978 series starring.
I'm not.
You're not from this country.
I'm not from this planet.
Willis, and that little short kid.
Oh, I'm afraid you're alone.
I think you mean Different Strokes.
Different Strokes.
Well, that's good times. Which come from Different Strokes sometimes.
So. And during cyber sex, well, Different Strokes can be useful, but that's a slightly different topic on its own.
So you went looking for a conversation regarding your girlfriend?
Yes, and somebody to rant to. And in that, I would generally find someone to talk to who would just listen to me. And occasionally, I'd get prompted for something a little bit steamier.
Really?
Or sometimes I would actually be the one looking for something steamier just because...
After you learned the ropes.
After I learned the ropes.
No pun intended.
Well, Finding somebody who was a little bit more experienced is really easy to find on the web. I even forget the first time that I actually had cyber sex, but I think I was sort of walked through it.
I'm having a hard time conceptualizing cyber sex, although I think it must involve masturbation at some point.
The crux of it is basically masturbation.
But so what I would like to do is to, if you can, to bring us and our listeners through some kind of session, if you can. So you logged on, you're in a chat room, you're talking about woodworking or whatever, and someone on the other side, you know, Nancy,
I have a powerful tool for you.
Nancy 34F by says,
Something on the order of, first, would you like to go private? Would you like to, and then you start talking, and then usually the easiest way would be starting it through innuendo and seeing, kind of use that to test out the waters to see if the person is actually interested. Some people just go bluntly and say, hey baby, are you male or female?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I had a rather, androgynous name. So
can you reveal what your handle was on the? Can you at least tell us what the handles might be like, even if you don't reveal your own?
Well, handles could be things like Raven Talk, Simple Simon, Seabreeze, things like that would be the more androgynous ones, or you'd have Biggest Dickus and things going on the more.
I'm shocked.
Unfortunately, on some of these chat groups, you can pick any name you want, and if somebody else already has the name, you lose. So, if you might have this really good name, but somewhere out in the country, somebody picks your name.
For example, Loveline, for example, perfectly acceptable name, and now these MTV clowns appear to be...
are trying to be us, which is very difficult.
It's very to keep our brand distinction, I think we're going to have to call ourselves Raven
okay.
Wing might be good. Raven Wing Talk.
Pardon me? Raven Wing.
Raven Wing Line.
Okay, so now you're talking about carpentry, and somebody says, have you ever tried putting some foam on a power screwdriver? So you take that as an approach, and what do you say?
Usually, the easiest way is, if you take your standard bad X-rated film, the dialogue is basically that. You start... You start asking what the person looks like, or you might set up a scene where a person is, say, well, you start off in this field of flowers, and I walk up to you and slowly undress you, and then let them start filling in parts of the story. So it's a lot of storytelling.
This requires a huge amount of creativity, I assume, or at least...
To be done right, it requires a good amount of creativity, but you'd be amazed how many people just don't have the creativity out there. One of the frustrating things that I had was when I tried to be all creative and explicit and describing things and then waited for the other person to respond, they just respond with, oh yeah, that feels good.
Maybe that sentence may have been bound to a function key, for all you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I have a question of logistics. So you're masturbating, they're masturbating, but you're typing at the same time.
Well, maybe I was not paying attention. Are you already masturbating when this is happening?
Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm just doing it simply because I want to, and maybe I've finished, or I'm just trying to get them off.
So. But at some point, you're both typing and masturbating.
At some point, there's these pauses where you'll notice that they're not typing anything except for a few characters.
Random characters.
And then the keys get a little sticky, so you see A.
Yes. The clever use of Kleenexes is probably a sure sign of something.
Just to be clear, you're at work doing this.
Yes, having a closed an office without a window can be a useful thing.
You're alone in your office, chatting and masturbating.
Late at night.
Incredible. Okay, so, you know, theoretically, I could be walking by your office, and you're inside there masturbating and chatting.
That's why he's hoping that you'll come in.
part of the thrill of, at least for what I was doing, was the thrill of, well, I have to make sure that the cleaning people don't accidentally open up the door while I'm in there. Because I would do it late at night when I knew my office mate wouldn't be there.
I'm sorry.
I was actually going to interrupt our little discussion and do a public service announcement.
Which is what these stations exist for.
The University of Pittsburgh offer support groups for premenopausal women with breast cancer and their families as part of a research program. For more information or to find out if you qualify for this study, please call 412-624-4806. University of Pittsburgh. I didn't say that properly the first time. I apologize.
I'll be sure to write that down.
All right. So I'm walking by your office, mm-hmm. trying the door. So do you have a bumper sticker on your door or something? Like, if this office is rocking, don't come back in.
Actually, no. Have paper. The person who was in the office probably years before I was, cleverly taped paper over the little window that's there.
So you can't
really see in, so you don't know what's happening.
But still, I mean, the thing about masturbation is that, you know, it leaves all these insidious little clues around. Like, you know, there's your whole pheromonal sexual odor permeates. You know, I'm serious. Like, you can always tell. I'm serious. If someone has masturbated or had sex in a room, and you walk in there half an hour later, it smells like sex in there. Don't, you know, maybe I'm just unusually sensitive, but I always know.
Sex, yeah.
Sex, but careful masturbation, you actually have to look
closely. I couldn't deal with this. Masturbate carefully while typing.
I'm not talking about, you know, not catching all of your sperm. I'm just talking about, you know, your whole body is radiating, you know, let's say that this is based on evolution, you're calling out to other mammals to come and have sex with you in order to procreate.
I blame it on the Chinese food I have for lunch, usually. You know, if I do something in my office and it smells funny.
Usually by morning, I'd come back and
freshen up
and have a little air freshener in there, and no, it'd be the wiser.
So do you have repeated partners?
I did at one point. I had one particular partner who I always knew was going to be there and would kind of look for and wait
for. Did you get to know each other at all? Did you have a little pillow talk every now and then?
We would have pillow talk. We would talk. I would talk to her. She would share her problems with me. And this actually became a problem because she was the one whom I had talked to the most during my relationship with the Hellspawn. And at about the time when I finally decided, okay, I'm cutting it off, I'm not going to be the living whipping boy for this female, I was on a very big rebound. And
very big.
Very, very big. It was a 2-year relationship, so that was about the longest relationship I'd had since. And, well, I took it a little hard.
Just, you were with the Hellspawn 2 years.
I was with the Hellspawn for 2 years.
That's incredible. I mean, how long does it take for you to...
Well, I didn't... She actually turned to... She was kind of clever, because for the first year, we didn't really get a chance to talk much. And
for the first year?
For the first year.
It was a long-distance relationship.
It was sort of a long-distance
relationship. Ah, okay.
She lived in a nearby town, and she was kind of young, about 3 years younger than me.
So legal? Interesting. No comment.
Let's just say
that's how she kept you.
Let's just say that by the time we actually consummated the relationship, she was legal.
That's what's important.
But before that, nothing actually happened.
Interesting.
That was during the first year of the relationship. Not much happened. We kind of didn't get to see each other much, but we were kind of dating-ish.
Well, as long-time listeners of the show know, long-term relationships are the most toxic of any kind because everyone's on their best behavior. You know, you never really get to find out how the person actually is. And as you've learned so painfully...
Mm. That's not true, but...
Well,
I let it go.
After my 2-year relationship with the Hellspawn, I managed to bounce into a relationship with a trouble-prone person.
On the internet?
On the internet. I found her through the internet. She was my confidant, and I was hers. And eventually, we began to talk on the telephone. And this would have been okay had she been nearby, but she was across the country, all the way in Portland, Oregon, thereabout. So my long-distance calls became pretty great. And I went to meet her twice. And
she was a man.
Well, she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Still is.
I would just like to suggest that there's nothing wrong with male-to-male contact.
No, but it's just nobody was expecting that sort. I know somebody who was convinced he was going to marry somebody.
Mm. That's like that movie, The Last Seduction. Did you see that movie?
No, unfortunately not.
Or was that The Last Temptation?
Fabulous movie. No, that's a different one.
No, that's Greek.
So actually, I would like to zoom in and just go into high detail mode on the moment you step off the plane and you see this woman. What are you feeling? What do you talk about in the first 5 minutes? Does she look like what you thought? Does she act like what you thought?
She didn't look like what I thought. And
so you hadn't exchanged pictures or GIFs or anything?
She had my picture.
Uh-huh. GIF stands for a graphic interchange format, and it's one of the popular binary formats used to exchange digital images. On the internet, of course, it uses the famous LZW compression system, and is therefore its use is governed by a patent. And so many people prefer to use other formats, which are not controlled by patents.
For interchange,
graphic
interchange.
Okay. Did I say something else? Internet.
No. But
okay,
she had seen my picture because I had mine up. It's one of the interesting ways to bring people in. If you have a cute picture, you might have.
Did you have a cute picture? Were you naked in this picture? Were you showing?
No,
somebody else's picture. But
I must admit that I do not have any naked pictures of me on the net that I know of.
Interesting.
But I have not seen a picture of her. She wasn't exactly what I was hoping for.
So in what way did she deviate?
But you knew her mind, and you did her mind.
I thought I knew her mind, but I also learned that people have different personas, and the persona that you have on the internet is slightly different than the actual persona that you have.
No, probably not slightly.
Oh, really?
That's a good topic.
So people present a different personality over the computer than they might in real life. That's interesting.
Just as a person might present a different personality, say while on the phone or while sitting in front of a microphone,
on the radio, or at work.
You might people will present a slightly different face. I'm a lot more flamboyant when I'm on the internet. I'm a lot more charismatic, in my opinion, because there's certain cues that you can only take from text, and it's easier.
I'm a lot more humble as well.
Yes. Humble.
That makes sense. But really, what was wrong with her? In what way did she fail to match your expectations?
I found out the hard way that I have a very particular body type that I'm very attractive to. Think of a ballerina, but with a little bit more meat on their bones. Thin, slightly curvy, but
not very curvy.
Not very curvy.
You don't want a breather.
These kind of stunted, deformed toes.
Well, not the deformed toes.
Anorexic.
Almost
a little more meat.
The delayed menstruation kind of.
The tall, thin, not Earth Mother type.
Interesting.
And.
Pasty.
It's an HI skater, perhaps. A little more meat.
Very, very close to that. Yeah. But when...
Tan? Not tan? Hair pulled back in a little bun?
I actually prefer the nice long hair, but...
But I think it would have to be pale, right? Imagine the hip on a horizontal surface. Would it be a pale hip?
Tara Limpinski, or whatever it was, Olympic skater?
I'm not thinking of a particular person. I'm just
close
dreaming.
To that. But I should say that she did not... She fit twice that ideal.
So she was more Earth Mother.
She was more Earth Mother,
pretty?
relatively attractive, but not exactly to me.
Interesting.
And that caused some friction in the relationship.
Did you have physical encounters? Other than to have coffee, I mean?
Yes, we did.
So, well, but That's fascinating.
That
the cyber extends to the real.
Well, Juan Pablo, when you first met me, you weren't physically attracted to me. It was more because we shared the same love of science.
Well, that's right. That's right. And that goes a long way. And that is why what happened happened.
Interesting.
But we later learned...
I find you a lot more attractive with that fake cigarette now, though.
Yeah.
Well, it turns me on, too, so...
It's actually totally changed my image. I want all of you, my listeners out there, to go to Giant Eagle or any other of your neighborhood stores and pick up one of these fake cigarettes and carry it around.
Well, in fact, I understand that you had a very positive experience this weekend thanks to the fake cigarette.
Actually, you know what? Actually, I learned a lot about myself and about my own self-esteem because I accidentally left the fake cigarette at home, but I still had sex this is 10 years ago. My first love in college. I went for a visit and we ended up having sex and it was just delightful. And I didn't bring my cigarette.
A man that I understand was a great source of neurotic despair to you over the years, right?
He was. This man had been torturing me for years because I was having homosexual feelings at the time, and he was having mostly heterosexual feelings, and still continues to do so. But we still had a very close, very intimate relationship. There was just this barrier, not on my side, but sort of like a one-way mirror or some kind of one-way barrier. He just wasn't too interested in the homosexual thing, but yet felt all the other, you know, if I had been a woman, there would have been no problem. We would be together to this day.
But, unless you were a homosexual woman, a lesbian. Okay.
Well, then we'd have the inverse problem.
All right.
He'd be interested in, but the point is we had a fabulous intimate encounter. Finally, you know, being a little bit older, a little bit more liberal, we both decided. Well, it was an easy decision on my part, and somewhat more difficult decision on his part, to just sort of go ahead and try something.
Well, congratulations.
Very fulfilling.
And this happened without the cigarette, even.
Yes, and without the cigarette. So, in fact, you know, I realized that I can be beautiful just being me. I think that's what
we all knew that. it's unfortunate you took 10 years to find out. So, Philip, sorry for the little digression.
It's okay.
One must celebrate, you know, this kind of thing.
I would like to point out, we here at Sex Talk or Raven Wing Talk discovered the cigarette thing first. If the MTV Loveline guys start sporting fake cigarettes,
and it will happen because they've taken everything we've done.
They're gonna start having sex with their college friends too. I mean, it's just like everything we do suddenly like MTV innovates it 2 years later.
Yeah, this is,
if I may use innovate as a word, as a verb.
Innovation, yeah, they're changing the Webster dictionary for that one.
I would actually like to take this moment to do a couple of announcements. First, please access us on the web. We're building a little chat room, a little sex talk, Raven Wing Talks. It's not quite up yet, but our URL is http://, you all know that part, sextalk.wrct.com. And now I would
dot what?
Com.
Uh-huh.
Com for community.
So it's not org.
Well, you can use org if you're more comfortable with org, but com also works. We're multimodal that way.
Well, they kind of go together. Go on.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, please call in if you're listening and have fascinating insights to share. 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT. And I'd also like to mention the following. Are you looking for that dream dog? Do you have a fancy for a specific feline? You know what you want, but don't know where to find him. Animal Friends now has a quick, easy way to get the two of you together by using a new computer matching system. The Shelter's Meet Your Match computer service is free of charge. It offers listings of people who want to find a home for a pet, breed rescue clubs, and shelter animals. Meet Your Match. At last, call Animal Friends, the no-kill shelter in the Strip. That's 566-2103. That's their phone number, 566-2103. Call them today.
How proper the computer matching part of this.
Exactly.
We're talking about cybersex today.
So your cybersex chat room is also a no-kill chat room, is that right?
It was at the time until it finally died. But
So you had physical sex with, or physical contact of some sort with the person that you had cyber with?
Yes, that is my one and only experience of doing so. We later just determined that we just weren't right for each other.
Was the physical encounter good? So you haven't had a good physical encounter yet, have you?
Actually, I have.
Okay. It was not related to cyber.
But not related to cyber.
Is it possible that you're in denial of your own homosexual feelings? Is this at the core of this? I mean,
not that I can tell.
Is it possible that you're thinking of Christ?
No.
I mean, seriously, I performed oral sex on a man this weekend. I'm a straight man, and he told me that I was really good at it. In fact, the best he had ever had. And so it leads me to believe that some people may be trapped in these heterosexual relationships, not realizing what they're missing.
Well, I'm currently in a very secure heterosexual relationship, and my partner is is probably the best that I've had yet, and I just can't complain at all.
Okay, well, I'll get back to that in a moment. We have a caller right now who'd like to put on the air first.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, you know, I think we're having some painful technical difficulties, as shocking as this may seem. If the caller can still hear us, try to work it out with our engineer, or please do call back.
Oh, and if there's somebody from Radio Systems Incorporated listening, please do send us that board that we've been waiting for 2 weeks, please.
We need our new power supply. This is just too painful. I'm sorry about that, caller. If the situation doesn't get resolved, please call back. Terribly sorry. Anyway, so you're perfect. You claim to be perfectly comfortable in this.
Oh, I'm in a really marvelous relationship at the moment.
So you finally found your place.
Yeah.
So do you engage in cyber sex currently?
Not anymore. I haven't for basically since the last relationship that I was in, the one where we determined that we were just not right for each other. That was the last time I had engaged in cyber sex. I determined that I didn't need it anymore, and it was just too time-consuming. I had school that I was dealing with, I had work that I was dealing with, and so I didn't want, I just couldn't pencil it into my schedule.
So that's an interesting question. When you were fully at doing cyber sex at full tilt, if you will, how many hours a day would you say you spent online?
I probably spent about 2 to 3 hours.
Every day?
Every day. Sometimes more, rarely less, usually in the very late night. And at that time, I would usually be waiting for my girlfriend at the time to finish homework or some of the such, and I would stay there late and then go over to her dorm room, and we'd have very unsatisfying sex and then go to sleep.
Well, sorry, I'm a little confused. Was that the hell spa?
That was the hell spa.
The hell spa. Okay, so would you masturbate engage in cyber sex and then go home with the hell spawn and do a follow-on sexual encounter?
Yes.
Interesting. So, what were your feelings about that? I mean, did you feel like were you cheating on her? Was it necessary to confess? It's obviously very safe sex.
I really didn't feel the need to tell her that I was doing such. I didn't consider it cheating, because in my opinion, cheating would have been actual intercourse with somebody else. Right. But in effect, I was giving my physical emotion to somebody else, not actually satisfying them in a physical sense.
Right. Well, so that's sort of the crux of my question, I guess. I mean, you are indeed also this can be, I imagine, pretty intimate, right? You could indeed be sharing your emotions and getting emotionally involved with someone over the computer, too, right? Is there not?
One of the useful things about the way that I was, just in my own personal defense mechanism, dealing with the cyber sex, is that I did not become very emotionally attached to the people, because it was simply text on the other side of the screen.
Right.
And so it really was hard to get attached to that person.
But not all people view it that way. I mean, some people meet their future lovers and future spouses on the internet?
I do remember seeing people saying that they were cyber married and mm-hmm. they're cyber dating, and I this gives me a very pleasant smile, and eventually they'll learn.
Well, you know, I'm sort of unconvinced. I mean, it seems like I've certainly known, given that, well, for example, in this particular subculture, I know a lot of gay teens, for example, in sort of far-off, lonely country places, who meeting other people of like orientation is actually very difficult in their hometowns, and the only way they meet people is on the computer. And so, you know, I think that there are a lot of people in various situations who actually have serious emotional attachments to people they meet on the computer.
It's a really, to some people, it can be a really, really easy thing. And as you were saying, people who have, say, a single gay person in a small town will have a very hard time finding someone of like interests. And going off on the internet is really easy. There's nice support groups and areas that are specifically set for we do gay chat, as I've seen on IRC recently, or in the past, recently being about a year or so.
There actually is a gay Pittsburgh channel on the IRC, Gay PGH, which I have been known to frequent.
I used to frequent the PGH group and found out that it was mainly, most of the people on Gay PGH were actually on the PGH group, and so it was kind of hard to find somebody of like sexual orientation.
Hello.
Hello. Is the caller actually there?
No. We're testing. Keep talking.
Okay.
You're.
That's teasing.
that's very confusing. So it's fantastically pleasing that you're now in a very satisfying relationship, but this show is all about unsatisfying relationships. So let's go back a little bit and focus on the cyber sex. When you were back in your cyber sex phase, if you will, and at its height, you're still with the Hellspawn.
Still with the Hellspawn.
I'm actually confusing the Hellspawn with the Oregonian. Are they the same?
They are completely different.
Okay.
The Oregonian is the one you talked to when you were with the Hellspawn.
Yes. I talked to her. She was my confidant. We later dated. She moved here.
The Portland woman moved here?
She moved here.
And you were with her another 2 years, knowing you.
Well, I was with her for about, actually for about 2 or 3 weeks before we realized, wow, this isn't going to work. There was an interesting...
Wow. Are the phones fixed, by the way? What's up with the phones?
I think they should
Did the caller...
The caller was on a cell phone. He said he would try calling back later.
Please call. We apologize for that little flaw. The phones appear to be working now. Other people, if you want to call in the next 8 minutes or so, 621-WRCT or 268-9728. That stands for WRCT.
Mm-hmm.
The portly Portland woman moved to Pittsburgh.
We determined we weren't really right for each other. There were some things I'd rather not express right now that happened. But eventually we broke up on good terms. I still talk to her.
She moved here to live with you?
She moved here actually because she came from a small town and found Pittsburgh more apt for what her interests were. And I for one tried to make sure that she was moving here for
cheese dogs and hockey.
She actually liked the medical department of Pitt University.
She was sick very often, so.
Yeah, there was that, but she is actually interested in being a the medical school. So she moved here for that reason, and I tried to make sure that she wasn't moving just because of me, because I really didn't.
Is she still here?
She is still here.
Okay.
As far as I know, and I still talk to her, and she's around.
Blind doctor?
Not yet, but she'll be in medical school if she can.
I need to find somebody. By the way, if any of our callers are medical doctors and can prescribe Viagra, I need to do a little case study, and I need a jar of this stuff. So please call in, write me a prescription, or just call me a prescription at Farmore. I'll give you my information later, and get me a bottle of this stuff. Is that illegal to
ask? I think that might be, unless you have a problem, but I think you do have a problem.
I'm having a problem ever since I seduced the straight man this weekend. Nothing is sexually interesting to me anymore.
You should try cybersex. That might be a good outlet.
I don't know. Whenever I look at the screen too carefully, I start getting a headache, and then I just lose all sexual interest.
I'm still fascinated by the fact that you were able to go from one to the other. I have a little experience with cybersex a long time ago. Mm. And everybody was had to play their fantasies. And the reason it worked is that everybody knew that they wouldn't meet.
Well, since it started out as initially a cybersex relationship, and then a personal relationship, which eventually led to cybersex, and then eventually led to conversations on the telephone, which did heck to my phone bill when she actually lost her internet connection.
But there is no price for love.
Was this the old days when long distance was actually expensive? I mean, MCI has 5-cent Sundays now, right? I mean, how much?
Well, unfortunately,
yeah,
I wasn't
they
the one...
They need a rose all sorts of days of the week.
I wasn't the one in charge of the phone at the time, and apparently we could have switched to a long-distance company that would have helped me out, but...
Interesting.
Ah, well.
All right, yeah. So because you started personally, because you started talking to her to as a confidant...
Yes.
...then it was okay to get back to that. Do you think you could be... physical with somebody, some of the other people that you didn't have such, that you just had cyber sex with?
I really don't think so. Not with my current relationship. I don't think I could be physical with any of them. Even at the time, had I been single at the time, I don't think I could. I just have too much of a bit of a code of honor. That I only.
Suppose she goes poof tomorrow. I mean, if you're free, if you don't have any ethical problems.
But so the ethical problem is what? Is it a monogamy issue?
It would be a monogamy issue. If I were to start up cybersex tomorrow, I would not have any inclination to actually meet the person.
Okay, so cybersex is not sex at all to you then?
No, it is an act of its own, kind of like a replacement for sex, but.
But you don't have any problems with having cyber sex with 5 different people in one night, if you can stand it anyway.
I have absolutely no problem with that.
5 a night? That's good.
I'm sorry, was I not paying attention? The monogamy issue is you can't have cyber sex and...
I cannot have physical sex with more than one person at any given in any relationship.
I asked him, what could the cyber sex evolve into something?
I'm gonna have to listen to the tape of the show afterwards in order to finish it.
No, I think it's just me.
Mm. All right. Well, actually, this monogamy thing is. I mean, for example, I am in a long-term relationship, and yet I still seduce my straight friend. I mean, there are times for monogamy, and there are times when monogamy has to take a backseat to a higher morality, and. You know, if the time is right, for example, you and I, Juan Pablo, you know, when we were camping last summer and we were in Peru and...
Oh, man, Machu Picchu, mucho macho, man.
Sometimes, you know, you have to let your natural urges, they're telling you something. It's the primitive call.
It's for the betterment of humanity when you let
the
feeling like that.
Tribal memory, you have to follow those urges.
Absolutely.
I'll just have to take your words on that.
How many cyber partners would you say you've had?
Cyber partners, wow. I say at least
order of magnitude
30, less than 100, less more than 10, somewhere between 30 to 60.
Interesting. And
sometimes it might just be a one time. Just a one-nighter, you could say, and sometimes it might be 2 or 3 weeks or something like that.
Do you find that you get a reputation on these systems, like, oh, you know, make sure you connect to Philip because he's got a really good way with telling stories or describing scenarios?
I don't think I actually had much of a reputation. More or less, I would have, at any given time, certain people would try to monopolize my time. And you would have lots of people talking back and forth, and you'd have to pick which one you actually wanted to pay attention to. And for all I knew, the person who I was having an encounter with was also talking to three or four people at the same time.
Interesting.
So multitasking, it makes for an interesting orgy when you don't know who your partner is also partnering with.
Wow. So, but indeed, I think there's some crucial element here. It's like if you were an unusually creative person, you would think you would be in high demand just because you could be. I mean, this is a very kind of high stress kind of improv thing, right?
The market of sex. Yeah.
If someone could be really kind of quickly responsive and creative with new ideas and be able to express themselves nicely with language, you would think that would be a very desirable cyber partner.
I never really had the time or the effort to actually put myself up as a full-time cyber lover. And if I could probably make money if I actually wanted to. I don't think I'm that creative, but there are people out there who are that good, and people are willing to listen to them ramble while they do things to themselves. So there's an entire industry based on that.
Interesting. I mean, ideally, if bringing this to the next level, what you ought to be able to do is attach various sensors and effectors, if you will, to your own body, and then have the other person be able to control them, right? I mean, this should be some kind of HTTP extension where you can send, you know, activate the nipple.
The cyber condom. The
scary thing
nipple.
About that is I actually was talking to somebody through the net, and she was telling me about this little device that she got, which was a vibrator that had a remote control attached to it, and the partner would be in charge of that remote control, and it would do the different settings.
Oh, in a very low-tech way, right? He would just say, okay, now set your vibrator to 6.
Yeah.
And fabulous.
And you
where
could
does that leave the human touch and the subtlety of... I'm appalled.
I personally wouldn't want to do that, but for on a cybersex issue, it would work. It would actually enhance the thing a bit.
I would like to just mention to our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh, and we'll be wrapping up in just a few moments.
We'd like to remind you also that animals are your friends, but they won't take you out to the airport.
Yeah. That was such a stunning comment that I forgot what we were talking about. So vibrating attachments, the human element.
It adds a lot more of the autoeroticism to it, that it's a person basically playing with themselves and reading something stimulating. And so having a vibrator that somebody else, that you think somebody else is touching, and would probably enhance it. I never got that far.
In our final few moments, I would like you, in our final few seconds, I would like to ask your following reaction to the following question. Do you think cybersex is an adult, healthy way to interact, or do you think it's a phase that people grow out of?
I think it is a healthy way. It helps a person understand themselves a lot better. Somebody who can't go through a cybersex relationship probably can't go through an actual physical sex relationship. I learned a few interesting techniques from people through cybersex that I later tried out on my partner. So
are you disturbed to find that your partner does not have a @ sign or return key?
and if your partner doesn't double click, but...
Some do.
But I think it is a healthy thing when you make a nice distinction between, wow, this is the computer, this is fantasy, and this is my partner who's sitting there.
Fabulous. Well, on that note, I think I'd like to close.
I wanted to say one more thing. I have my cyber sex experience in 1984, so I may be quite a pioneer.
That is intensely... Yeah,
on over the BitNet, if you remember
that.
Oh,
my.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to thank our callers for trying to call. I'm sorry we had such technical difficulties. I'd like to thank Philip, for the cyberspace pioneer, for joining us tonight. And I would like to thank my straight college friend for finally acquiescing after all these years. Producer Kate, thank you too, and good night, everyone.
That you weave so well. I see fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. Then that elevator starts its ride. Down and down I go, round and round I go. Like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire.